I think that we forget sometimes in the busyness of life, sometimes maybe even in coming to church, we forget that this is about preparing a soul to meet the Lord. Sometimes we focus a lot on worship and praise and so on and so forth in services, and that's well and good. But this is a soul-saving station. This is a place where men and women get right with God. And our job, my job, is not to make people comfortable and satisfied in their sin, but to make them unsatisfied, discontent in sin, and to know that there's a better life. The Bible said that Jesus Christ has come to save us from our sin. There's a modern philosophy that you can live any way you want and still be saved. Cannot reconcile that with the Word of God. If you're going to be saved, you have to embrace the cross on which Jesus Christ died. You embrace the life that He wants us to live. The life He wants us to live is a pathway of death. We die out to ourselves, our own will and wants and desires, and that we live unto the Lord. And that we obey the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to be saved by accident. You're not going to be saved just because He loved you. But the love of God brought us a plan whereby we could be saved. Matthew chapter 27, verse 31. And after that, they had mocked Him. They took the robe off Him and put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave Him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. And they crucified Him. Four words. Doesn't take long to say it. The impact is not that forceful today. But four of the most unbelievable words, that God would come in flesh, live among us, and it would be said, they crucified Him. And parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched Him there. Sitting down, they watched Him there and set up over His head His accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with Him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads. I'm going to talk this morning a little while about lost in the shadow of the cross. My appeal to all of us today is to not be lost in the shadow of the cross. Father, I thank You this morning for the cross on which You died. And I thank You, Lord, because I know that You did it for me and You did it for every one of us that sit in this place today. And through Your death, You brought into reality a plan to whereby every one of us could escape the judgment and the wrath that is to come upon this ungodly world. And help us to seek Your face today, to seek Your holiness, and to seek the life of God to live within ourselves. Let Your will be done in our hearts in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. I will not make an apology for the message I will preach today. Years ago, preachers didn't even feel a need to say that. We live in a world that if you have some concrete beliefs about salvation, about being lost and saved, they think you're judgmental. But I do not believe it's judgmental if I know the plan whereby men and women can escape the wrath of God to come on this world. If I am a fireman and I know the way out of a burning building, is it judgmental if I tell you the way out? If I'm a policeman and I know the dilemma, the answer to a dilemma, a way out, it would be a dereliction of duty not to let it be known, the way of safety and the way of escape. So I don't believe it's judgmental. I believe it's love to warn people of the wrath that is to come. If things happen according to the word of God, and I believe that it will, we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. The Apostle Peter reiterated that same theme in 2 Peter 3 and 11. He said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We read of a day that the sinner shall be cast into hell, that there is a place to where the fire is not quenched and death does not come, though it is sought and begged for. And so, since I know these things, it would not be proper, nor would it not be right, that sometimes in my preaching that I lift up a voice and warn about a place that is called hell. The Apostle Paul preached about love. He talked about reconciliation. He talked about many of those wonderful themes of the cross. But yet the Apostle Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. It was not the love of God that pushed him into the streets. It was not the love of God that sent him to cities that did not know the gospel. It was the terror of the Lord. It was the judgment that he knew was to come that pushed him to the uttermost parts of the earth, because he knew that it was not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I've come to tell you today that it is not God's will that you or I be lost. It is not his will that any soul ever die lost and go to a devil's hell. But the reality is that he said there is a narrow way that leads to life, and there is a broad way that leads to destruction. And so there stands before us today a cross that cast its shadow across the dispensations of time. A cross that cast its shadow across the last 2,000 years. And the message of the cross is, you do not have to die lost. That is the message of the cross. There was a mixed multitude around the cross that day. I am made to understand, according to the way the word of God reads, that there were throngs of people. Probably, no doubt, thousands of people had come out that day. I read about the city streets that were crowded. I read about the multitude around the cross, and so I know there was plenty of people around the cross that day. The Bible said, and it's a very sad commentary, and it almost sounds like our day. Here Jesus Christ is hanging on a cross. He has blood covering probably almost every square inch of his body. His flesh has been broken and bruised. And the Bible said that as Jesus hung on the cross that day, that the multitude sat down and watched him hang there. What a sad commentary of the people of that day. Unmoved and untouched and unemotional at all about the scene that was displayed before them. The Bible said that some of them walked by and many of them reviled him. And others mocked him. And others just walked by and shook their head, seemingly to say, how sad. Seemingly to say, you should have obeyed the rule of and the order of the day. You should not have gone about healing on the Sabbath and calling people to a life of consecration. And so that seemed to be the prevailing attitude of that day. That they were uncaring, unmoved, and unfeeling, and unstirred about what happened before them that day. But this had been foretold by David in Psalms 22. He said the Messiah would be poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. So it was no surprise to God or to Jesus about the reaction of the multitude that day. It had been predicted by David that the day that he hung there, that they would just simply stare at him. You see, there's something about that kind of an attitude that simply amazes me. I see that stare in many people's eyes that pass through the doors of this church even today. It's a stare that says, I am unmoved and I am unconcerned about the cross of Calvary. It's a stare that says, preacher, you can preach it any way you want to. I'm not moving. It's a stare that says, I am not involved. I'm not part of this. Leave me alone. It is also an attitude that is prevalent today. If you have not noticed, our society cares not one whit about Jesus Christ. Our society only cares about the pleasures and their lust and the excesses of their lifestyle. It's all they care about. But when they're presented with the cross and before them they see the shadow of the cross across their pathway, they walk around, they walk away, they turn their back, because many do not want to be bothered about living for Jesus Christ. Some stare, some sit, some revile us, and some wag their head. It's the attitude of the day and the hour in which we live. But let it not be said that any child of God ever touched by the blood of Calvary, any child of God ever touched by the Spirit of God, any one of us who has ever seen in the mind's eye that day that Jesus died and the broken flesh and the blood from his body, and knowing he went there for me and he went there for you, don't ever let us have that stare. Don't ever let us have that empty gaze. Don't ever let us be unmoved and unconcerned. I'm lifting the cross up today in the presence of us all. And the shadow of the cross demands some kind of a response. We're here today because of a man called Jesus and a place called Calvary. We're here today because Jesus Christ, God in flesh, lived among us and he died for us. That is why we're here. That's what it's all about. And don't ever forget it. Hallelujah. Let me keep it always fresh in my spirit. Don't ever let me be content and satisfied to keep him at an arm's distance. Let me always have a vivid and a fresh image of Jesus Christ and the price that he paid. I don't ever want to be unconcerned and unmoved. I understand we come to church generally at least 3 times a week. I understand it can get routine. I understand we can sing some of the same songs. I understand we hear, you know, you hear my voice a lot. I know it can get mundane. I know it can get average and ordinary. But we sit here sometimes so relaxed, our legs crossed and our arms over the back of the seat, our wives snugly tucked under our arm, and we're so satisfied and comfortable and secure. But you know, we've got to have something that moves us out of our pew, and we've got to have something that stirs our soul, and we've got to have something that always compels us to keep a fresh view of Calvary. There's something that's got to keep it more than just mundane and more than just ordinary. I believe, I have the personal conviction that if we will keep Calvary fresh in our mind, and if we will stay close to the cross, and we'll stay close to the blood, we'll not get lukewarm, and we'll not get satisfied with the ordinary. If we stay fresh with God, it'll always be meaningful to us. And those that get away from the cross are those that are cold and lukewarm and uncommitted and unconcerned. You cannot be unconcerned if you've just had a fresh visit to the cross. We need to see Jesus Christ hanging there. Well, there was Mary, his mother. Couple of other women there. There was John, the disciple, to whom Jesus commended his mother. There was one thief that reviled him and cursed him. There was another thief that recognized that he was not a criminal, but that he was God in the flesh. He saw through the blood and the torn flesh and the crown of thorns. That thief saw a king. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then there was a centurion that when the heavens went dark and the sun refused to shine and the earth shook and the rocks quaked, he said, surely this was the Son of God. And so there were a few there that day. But by and large, they watched him there. They stared at him there. They reviled him there. They wagged their heads, unmoved and untouched. The point is, most of them around the cross that day died lost without God. So close to salvation, but died lost. So close in proximity to Jesus, but so close to Satan in spirit. So close to heaven, but died and went to hell. So close to water and died of thirst. So close to bread and died of hunger. So close to glory and yet so far away from heaven. Right in the shadow of the cross. I have a feeling today that if that multitude could come back, it would be different today. If that crowd could show up here this morning, we would have revival that would cover this entire city. If that crowd could come back today, they would say, if we would have only known who he was, if we would have known the scriptures because they identified him as the Messiah, if we would have listened to the ministry, if we would have only paid attention, we would have made a different choice. But they went so close to the cross, and yet they died lost without God, their greatest regret. You see, I believe that though in heaven we will be shielded from sadness because there will be no tears. Yet we do know, according to the words of Jesus, that there will be memory of things in this life in hell. Luke chapter 26, the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible said that Lazarus sat at the rich man's gate every day. And Lazarus passed him by, unmoved and unconcerned about the condition of that man. But as is always the case, the Bible said that Lazarus died and went to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and went to hell. It's not a parable. It's not a story. It is a real man, a real situation Jesus talked about. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Being in torments, he saw Abraham and Lazarus. And he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and that one drop of water would cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things, and Lazarus received bad things, but now it's different in eternity." But the point is, he called to the rich man's mind. He said, "You remember Lazarus that sat at your gate every day. You remember the good things you had, and you remember how so seemingly Lazarus had nothing whatsoever." And so that rich man is in hell with a memory of knowing that God set right at his gate an opportunity. Right at his doorway, there was potential salvation. He walked in and he walked out, day in and day out. And he cared not about that rich man or that poor man that sat at his gate. Don't ever think that you will, if you're lost, and pray to God you're not. But don't ever think that you'll forget this day, and that you'll ever be allowed to forget this message, because these things will come back to our memory if we're lost without God. There is some tragedy in a lost potential and a lost opportunity. There may be somebody living somewhere in the far off regions of this world who don't know anything, have never heard about Jesus Christ. I would rather be that man in eternity than to be one of us that sat at the door of the house of God day in and day out and squandered our opportunities and lost our potential to be saved. God, don't let us be lost in the shadow of the cross. Judas, so close to Jesus, but yet so far, slept side by side, ate at the same table, shared the same experiences, yet he died lost. How can you do that? How could one die? You know, somebody may could point at me and say some decision I made or something I said might have caused you to lose faith in God. And maybe that would be justified, though I hope not. But here was a man that walked with Jesus. He had God as his immediate on-site pastor, and he still died. Lost without God. How can you do that? By being a hypocrite, by being insincere, by loving money more than loving Jesus. I also understand from this that I could, even as a preacher, I could walk with God or seemingly walk with God and yet end up lost. You see, I need to keep my own heart right. I've got to keep my own focus on Jesus Christ. I've got to make sure that nothing comes into my heart, because I can walk with God and talk about God and sing about Him and yet still be lost. This lets me know, even as a child of God, don't take it for granted. Don't be unmoved and unconcerned. I don't care how good you may live. If your relationship with God is not fresh and real and exciting and new, if you're not moved by Calvary anymore, you're too far away from Calvary. So this is a day in which we live. There is not a one of us that has not fallen under the shadow of the cross. Even in recent months, the movie The Passion of the Christ seems to have re-exposed the world. You see, I think God used that man because they don't care what I say. But Mel Gibson is, you know, he's a big star in the world. And for somebody of that stature in the world to talk about the cross and to spend his money to produce that movie, it did get the attention of the world. Isn't it interesting that God has allowed at this point in history to allow that man or to put it into his heart to make that movie? It, to me, it's another sign that we're near the coming of the Lord, because Jesus Christ does not want the world to be lost without at least coming in contact with the shadow of the cross. And so our society is reminded, our world is reminded, and there are still apostolic churches that lifts the cross high, because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. And so we're lifting up a cross today as a church. When you walk in the world, you're lifting up a cross. When you go to work, you're lifting up a cross. When you go to school, you're lifting up a cross. Everywhere you go, take the cross, because I don't want to go out there and enjoy the sins of the world and laugh at their jokes and get drunk with the drunken and get high with those that get high. I want to lift a cross so they will know we're different, and there's somebody in this world that still believes Jesus Christ died and that he is calling us to a life of holiness and consecration. There's nothing else left in the world but the church to lift up the cross. Lift it up. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Don't die lost in the shadow of the cross. Help me, Lord. I want to carry the cross. I don't want to hide it. Some people go to work. I heard a while back of a person that worked with a person of a local Pentecostal church several years and was surprised when somebody said, that man's Pentecostal. She said, what? I've worked around him years and I didn't know that. How is that possible? Unless we're going out as Judas did and hiding and cloaking who we are, and like Peter did and denying around the fire that we even know him. The world needs to know that we're different. They need to know that our message is different. Our gospel is different. We are a peculiar people. We are a called out people. We are those that bear the cross in the midst of a perverse and a crooked generation. Do not overstep the cross and go to hell anyway. Some of them that day didn't believe. They just didn't believe it. He said he's the Messiah. We'll tack the sign up here as a reminder to everybody how silly he is, how ridiculous this is. He said he's King of the Jews, so we'll put it up there. It was mockery. They didn't believe that, or they would not have crucified him. There were some that simply did not believe. There were some that simply did not care. There were some in that crowd that had been healed by Jesus Christ, but they didn't have the guts to speak up. There were some that day that had been changed by their encounter with Jesus, but they didn't dare speak up. They didn't have the courage of their convictions. There were some in that crowd that just, that they knew better. They just didn't have the courage, or they didn't care. And so I read in Mark chapter 15, verse 24, a final thought that I want to bring to you this morning. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. I want to know today, after you have been in the shadow of the cross, and you have been exposed to Jesus Christ as he hangs there, what are you taking away from the cross? Is it just a relic? They wanted some part of his clothing to remember him by. They wanted something to take home to put in the cabinet so they could say, we took this right off of the body of Jesus. What are you taking away from the cross? Is it a relic? Is it some memorabilia that you can just think about later on and show the grandkids? Or did you just leave with a memory? Or do you leave the cross forever changed by your encounter? They were all wondering, what are we going to leave here with? Some left that day thinking, I don't want any part of this. I don't know who he is, and I don't care who he is. There are some that's thinking, I didn't put the nails in his hands. Nothing to do with me. Pilate just briefly had him in his hands. He released him to the mob. He washed his hands, trying to rid himself of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's impossible. It is impossible. There is no way in this world to have ever had Jesus in your hands and let him go and walk away and think that you're untouched or unchanged, because something always happens when we have Jesus in our hands. Everyone who was exposed to the cross that day had some reaction. I don't, you know, you couldn't just sit there and not have some reaction. I'm sure some simply didn't care. Others thought they didn't do it, so it was nothing to them. And But you know, there's no way, I don't think, to sit in the midst of the presence of God and not have some kind of reactions. How many opportunities will we pass by? How many potential occasions to make things right with God? How many services will we walk away from? And how many altar invitations will we turn our back to? Maybe some of us here today are like Mary. She went to the cross knowing who he was. She birthed him. She knew she'd never known a man. She knew the Holy Ghost spoke to her. She knew the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. She knew that which was conceived in her was of God. She went to the cross knowing who he was. She left the cross believing and knowing who he was. There will always be some like that. There are some that you don't ever worry about, because you just know they got it. They know him. They know who he is. They love him. They'll be true to the day they die. It doesn't matter what invention. It doesn't matter what temptation. It doesn't matter what comes along. They're a true believer. It's in their heart. They live it. They breathe it. It's in their mind, in their spirit. It's who they are. They don't just go to church. They are the church. They don't just enter the house of God every once in a while. They walk in the earth as the temple of the Holy Ghost. And they know who they are. And there are some like that here today. Maybe there's some like the thief on the cross who went there that day as a rank sinner. He was not there voluntarily. He was compelled to be there. But just that day, as he was hanging on that cross, he saw a king and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He seemed to be there by accident. He didn't even know who Jesus was. But somewhere in the process, there was a change took place. There was a revelation. He went there not knowing and probably not even caring who Jesus was. But he died that day as a child of God. Somebody here today could be thinking, I don't even know what this is all about. But maybe something right here could happen. Maybe there's somebody like the centurion who went there hating Jesus. Just went there determined to help kill him. But when the sun refused to shine and the earth was dark and the rocks trembled and fell, surely this was the Son of God. He went there despising Jesus. He went there hating Jesus. But he left there believing. And so everybody had some reaction to the cross that day. And I don't think any of us ever want to die lost, every eye closed. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the cross on which you died. I know in our world there's such a frivolous party atmosphere. It's all about hunting and fishing and golfing and shopping and traveling and having fun and being relaxed and trying to overcome the pressures of life. And to us, 2,000 years removed from the cross, we didn't literally actually see you there. So all we have is the cross, the reflection cast across two millenniums. And so it's a little harder for us, maybe, to keep it fresh, to stay in love, to keep close to the cross. There's so much in this world that compels and pulls, demands our time and our attention. Some of us walked in here this morning thinking about jobs and work and money and problems and family. And we walked in here this morning probably out of the conviction that we ought to be in the house of God and that we do love you, but maybe our mind's not really set on you. And I'd like you to help every one of us in this place today. Help each of us, Lord, to in our own way, as you draw and as you move and as you lead us, help us to walk closer to your wounded side. Help us to embrace the cross on which the Son of God died. Don't ever let us get too far away from the cross. Don't let us lay down our cross, because then it's too easy to walk out of the church into the world. Help us keep the cross on our shoulders, that the cross beam will catch on the door facing. Hold us and keep us in the house and kingdom of God. Some here today may have made repeated efforts to dedicate, but something keeps calling back. They need a change in their life, or they're going to be caught lost. They're going to be caught in a lukewarm condition and be spewed out of your mouth because of their lack of faithfulness and consistency. Some might be lost because we just get too busy. We intend to get closer. We intend to do better, but it just doesn't seem to happen. So my prayer this morning, Lord, is you'd help us each, because I do believe in the cross. I do believe you died there. I do believe this is serious business. I believe it's the only business that matters in the world when it's all said and done. Help us not to lose that attraction to the cross. I'd like for us to stand with our eyes still closed. I want the Holy Ghost to talk to us this morning. I want the Holy Ghost, as we come to the end of this service, we'll come in just a moment around the front of this altar. We'll invite everybody to come. But when we come to the front of this place, I want you to ask God to help you.
My Savior died. The Lamb was crucified.
Before we move, I want you just to please reflect. Think about your life. Lay aside preconceived ideas. Lay aside your likes and dislikes and just open your heart, Lord. Let me see you.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more. It means I'm free. from the chains of slavery.
To come and pray. If you're not able to come to the front, just pray wherever you are, wherever you can.
Just for me.
I can't compel Jesus you to carry the cross like they did Jesus, Simon, to carry the cross of Jesus. Wherever you are in the building this morning, I want you just to thank Him for the cross. Ask God to help you to get closer. Ask God to help us not to be lost in the shadow of the cross. We ought to be more sincere about this than we've ever been about anything in our life. If you're not a believer, just indulge us this morning. But I believe this world and time as we know it will come to an end.
Just for me.
The only escape from the wrath of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our door into God's kingdom. It's our exit. It's our ticket out of this world. Must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's more than words. It's a supernatural birth. I don't know what might have pulled you away from the cross. I don't know what you've been through, what you've faced. That may have pulled you away from the cross. Maybe from the relationship you used to have with God. But God would like you to lay it down this morning and step over it. Get on back to the cross. Get on back to the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
With the Lord of glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Heaven sent, gave all on Calvary.
Some unmoved, some stirred. Some saw him as a king, and others died cursing and reviling.
Just for me.
Probably some of every one of those in this place today.
Jesus came and did it just.
Let me be like the thief on the cross that embraced him. Let me be like the centurion soldier that declared him. Let me be like his mother that knew who he was, never lost her faith. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us. Don't let us be unmoved and unchanged.
Jesus came and did it just for me.
Thank you. Close by lifting our hands and just personally, each of us asking God to help us. We've all got our obstacles. We've all got things to overcome. We've all got our distractions from the cross. We've all got our challenges. Life is not easy. The spiritual warfare we're involved in is life or death struggle. Just each of us ask God to help us to overcome those obstacles, to get past everything. That we can walk closer to the Lord. That we don't allow things to get between us and Him. Attitudes and spirits or habits, actions, lifestyle. Don't let us do anything, Lord, that causes things to come between you and us. Let us walk ever closer to your side. Let us cling to that old rugged cross. Let us cling. That's our salvation. That's what will keep us in the church. Thank you, Lord. Let me never be distracted away from the cross. Don't let me ever be enamored by the things of the world that the attraction of the cross is lost. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we walk in the world. These ladies and gentlemen walk into a world of work where there's ungodliness, where there's unbelief, where there's demonic spirits. I ask you, God, to lead them and guide them, protect them as they hold the cross high. Let their life be a witness. The world doesn't need more problems. They don't need more people with trouble. They need people with answers. They need people that know where the answers are and to know who Jesus is, to know how to lead folks to a closer walk with God. We know the world is looking for answers today. We believe that you are the answer. Help us, God, to get that message to our world. Help us to bear our cross. The shadow of the cross through our lives will be laid across the soul of those that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thanks to all of our visitors and guests. If you're here visiting, we're glad you're here. Thank you very much for being here. 6 o'clock tonight. God bless you. Anybody planning to go to Lindsay's graduation tonight, please see me before you go. We'll have church here at 6 o'clock. We can't have everybody disappearing, but if you want to go to the graduation, please see me about it.
Go ahead and be ready in case there's not enough choir members. You know what? If I